Turn with me to John, St. John, chapter 19, the Gospel of John. You know, if you're not used to shouting, and if people shouting sort of makes you wonder what's going on, if you knew Jesus the way a lot of these folks knew Jesus, you'd understand it. Amen. Why? Because He is precious. He is precious. Oh, what a Savior. Praise the Lord. Well, it's Mother's Day, and as a pastor, you try and bring something on a topic that sometimes is hard to preach on. But the Lord has laid this message on my heart, and I'm going to read from St. John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. And I like what one preacher says before he begins to preach. He says, it's my job to preach and it's your job to listen. And I pray that we finish at the same time. All right? I won't be too long, but you listen as long as I am, okay? And I believe God has something for us today. I really do. In verse 25, he says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own house, to his own home. You know, this is a scene that every child of God is familiar with at the cross. And here they are. And you know, there's several people here, and they're mentioned. In verse 24, it mentions the soldiers. I didn't read that, but in verse 24, it mentions the soldiers. The soldiers are at the cross because they have to be. They're there because they have to be. They're part of the execution team, and they're part of the guards that are standing guard around the cross of Jesus. It mentions Mary Magdalene. I thought about Mary Magdalene. I thought about how she's standing at the foot of Calvary watching what's going on at the cross. And I thought about how the Bible says that this is the Mary that was delivered from seven demons. Jesus cast seven demons out of this woman. And I thought as I read her name, as I was studying this passage of Scripture, I thought, I wonder if she realizes now the price that was paid so that she could be set free, so that she could have the liberty and the peace that she now enjoyed. And then there's Salome is at the cross as well. And Salome is actually James and John's mother. And so, you know, Salome is the one that came to Jesus. She said, can my boys sit on one on your right hand and one on your left hand when you get into your kingdom? And Jesus said, can they drink of the cup that I am going to drink from? And I thought, as we know that Salome was at the foot of the cross, I wonder if she's looking at what is going on right there at the cross. And I wonder if she's thinking, Jesus was talking about this cup right here. What he's going through, that's what he was talking about when he said, can your sons drink of the cup that I would drink of? But I want to focus this morning. I just wanted to kind of lay that out there. That was interesting, I thought. But I really want to preach about three people here today. First of all, I want to preach about John, because John is at the foot of the cross. John is the last disciple standing here. He would be the last disciple living. He lived the longest. He was banished to the Isle of Patmos. There he received the vision of the revelation. He wrote it down. He ended up actually coming back from the Isle of Patmos. He was the last disciple living. John, who was part of the inner circle of Jesus, James and John and Peter were the inner circle. John, who was working on his fishing nets in the family business when Jesus walked by and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible says that he immediately left the family business and followed Jesus. John, who at the Last Supper, after Christ had washed the feet of the disciples, the Bible said that he was close to Jesus, and he actually laid his head over in his bosom. And I thought, this John heard the heartbeat of Christ. He heard the beating heart of a Savior who loved people, a Savior who came that others might have life. He heard the very heart beating that would soon stop beating on the cross. John, who was also in the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers came, and the Bible tells us specifically that when they got there, every one of his disciples forsook Jesus. They all ran. They were all afraid. They all left him there. In Mark 14:50, it tells us that. And here John is. And Jesus says to him in verse 27, he says to that disciple, that's who he's talking to. Talking to John the disciple. But we find John near the cross. Listen, he had failed the Lord. He had been through much with him during his ministry. But at the end, he had ran. He had left him, in effect, turning his back on him when he was in Gethsemane. But here he is near the cross. And I want to tell you, it's at the cross where reconciliation is made. It is at the cross where forgiveness of sin can be found. It is at the cross where backsliders, where those who do not know Christ can find forgiveness for their sin. God does not grade on the curve, my friend. God grades on the cross, and you cannot get to heaven unless you come through the cross. And here John is, and Jesus says to him, behold your mother. He's nailed to the cross, and he looks at this disciple, and he says, behold your mother. This is what we call the third saying of Christ. It's interesting to me to note that the first three sayings that Jesus spoke from the cross dealt with the needs of others. Isn't that just like Jesus? See, the first thing he said was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The second thing he said was to the thief that was dying next to him, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And the third saying is actually both these sayings, they're categorized as the third saying. He says to John the disciple, behold your mother. I find that interesting, don't you? I find it interesting because Jesus is telling John, in reference to his mother Mary, behold your mother. I find it interesting because I know from reading the scriptures that Jesus had half-brothers. You say, what do you mean half-brothers? I mean Mary had other children. But Joseph was not Jesus' father, and so they were half-brothers, right? I find it interesting because Jesus is looking at a disciple and he's telling this disciple, behold your mother. He had brothers. She had other sons. We know that the epistle of James is written by the brother of Jesus. The epistle of Jude is written by the brother of Jesus. So I'm thinking as I read this, why would Jesus really put the welfare of his mother in the hands of a disciple? Well, I think it can't be overlooked that the disciples or his half-brothers are MIA, right? They're missing in action. They're nowhere to be found. The fact of the matter is his half-brothers were not believers in Christ until after his resurrection. As a matter of fact, they even gave him the business about some of the ministry he was doing. I can show you, and I don't have time, but I can show you in place of Scripture where they sort of gave him the business about him going about the ministry of the Father. And so at the cross, listen to this now. At the cross, family dynamics change. I like that. At the cross, family dynamics change. See, not only in your family, you see, when I got to the cross, I want to tell you, I became a better husband. My wife says, amen. When I got to the cross, I became a better father. When I got to the cross, I became a better man. Let me tell you, the cross can change family dynamics from within the home. At the cross. That's what the cross can do, the blood of Jesus. But you know something else? At the cross, family dynamics change in a real dramatic way. Because all of a sudden, when you get saved, people that you hardly know are coming up to you going, hey, brother. Hey, sister. Right? Hey, we sing that song, you will notice, we say brother,
and sister around here. It's because we're family and these folks are so near. All of a sudden, folks that are from different geographical locations, folks that you hardly knew, folks that speak with a West Virginia twang and you're from Ohio, all of a sudden become your sister and your brother in Christ. You see, the cross changes family dynamics, and we've seen it over and over. Thank God for the family of God. That's what the cross does. The cross changes family dynamics. And here at the cross, Christ is putting the welfare of his mother as her oldest son into the hands, and I think this is important, into the hands of a believer. Into the hands of a believer. Now notice what it says there in verse 27. He says, behold your mother. It says, and from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. He obeyed. He became the overseer. And history tells us that John went to Ephesus. Mary went to Ephesus with him. And history tells us that Mary actually died at Ephesus and she was under John's care. All right, let me move on. That's one. The first one is John at the cross, John near the cross. The second one is probably the most important in today's sermon, it being Mother's Day. You guessed it, it's Mary. She is at the cross. Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the cross. On what is probably the most painful, excruciatingly terrible suffering anyone could go through. And in the face of this terrible experience that her son is going through, dying in such a manner, having been beaten with a cat of nine tails until his back was literally just ripped to shreds, having had a crown of thorns pushed down on his head, having been spit on and his beard plucked from his face and made fun of, and having been so drained of energy that he could not even carry the cross all the way to Calvary, and then having been nailed there so that he could not breathe. He could take in a breath, but he could not exhale. And there he hung, let me tell you, and she stands there at the cross in the face of this terrible thing that her firstborn son is going through, and she's watching this. She's going to lose her child. Some of you have experienced that as mothers and as fathers. And in talking with you, and I know just from thinking about it, there could not be a worse possible experience to ever go through, to lose a child. But there she was. But you know what I see in her? I see a woman who shows amazing courage. You know, she's not losing it. You know, she's not falling apart. She's showing tremendous courage in the face of what is an awful and excruciating death that her son is going through. What courage that she shows. Not only does she show great courage, but she shows great love. Is there any love on earth any greater than a mother's love? I have, you know, paternal love is strong love. Amen, brothers? Paternal, that means the father side, if you don't know that. Paternal love is strong love. I have it, I know. But you know, there's something different about a mother's love. There's something different about a mother's love. It's tenacious. It's unconditional. You know, it really is. You know, we have a lot of young mothers here, and we have some that are going to be mothers here soon. And so, you know, we're excited. If you haven't noticed it, we've got a lot of children at Unity Free Will Baptist. I say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We don't care about, you know, children running around in the gym and that. We love them, man. We love our kids. Joe, you think about these young mothers, and you think about, I imagine that after carrying these babies for 9 months and protecting this baby in your womb and this baby, nurturing this baby and finally this giving birth to this child, and when they lay that bundle of love and neediness on your chest and you realize
This baby came from your womb. Man, that just does something to you. Amen. But I want to tell you, I believe that every mother that experiences that can look at their own mother and say, now I understand mom a little bit more. And I can't say that from experience. Can I get amen, sisters? Is that true? You understand your own mother more because you now have one of your own that came from your body that you carried. What an experience. No wonder a mother's love is so powerful and so tenacious. You know, Mary exhibited a mother's love throughout her whole life that we know of. We don't meet Mary until, you know, she's about to be visited by the angel. And you know, she's not married yet. And the angel visits her and says, you're going to conceive a child. And she says, well, how can that be? I haven't known a man. Well, God picked a woman that wasn't married to preserve the virginity of her so that she could bring forth his son. In innocence and without sin involved. Let me tell you something. Mary was chosen. She was blessed. And, you know, there was some misunderstanding with her husband, Joseph. He realizes she's pregnant before they get married, and he's sort of upset about it, and God sends an angel to clarify things with him. And perhaps there was even some, you know, snickering and maybe talking behind her back in the neighborhood where she lived. We don't know. There was a ride to Bethlehem when she was about to give birth. There was giving birth in a stable. Hey, listen, you know, it's hard enough in a hospital, right? In a stable and all that. Let me tell you, it wasn't easy for Mary, but in every aspect, every instance, Mary shows love. Our mothers have great love. They have a mother's love. And we love our mothers, don't we? Amen. We love our mothers, don't we? Amen. By the way, if you're not familiar with that term, amen, it's a good word. It means I agree with you, preacher. Yeah. That's good for a preacher every now and then to hear that. Mary had great courage. Mary had great love because she had a mother's love. I'm going to tell you something else. Mary had great faith. And her here at the cross, observing what is going on, observing the death of her son, who is the Savior of the world, who is the Lamb of God, to me, speaks to the fact that Mary realizes, now listen to me, Mary realizes that she also needs the Savior. Amen. You see, Mary was not a perfect woman. Now, I know maybe you've been taught that differently in your background, and I'm not here to offend you. And that's not my goal, but I just want to tell you that just as you need a Savior, just as the disciples need a Savior, Mary also needed a Savior. She was not a perfect woman. Mary was human, and therefore, because of her humanity, she also had a sin nature. God never intended for Mary to be honored above that which is being the mother of Jesus. He never intended for Mary to be looked at as a co-redemptress. He never intended for Mary to be some sort of mediator between God and man, because the Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God doesn't contradict himself. She's none of that. And here's the thing, church, listen to me. She knows that. That's why she's at the cross. Because she understands that Jesus is dying not only for the sins of the world, but that means her too. She needs a Savior. Mary needs a Savior. Can I tell you something? I would say, you know, I don't know. Can parenthood be summed up in this at times guilt trip? How many know that's true? Right? I mean, children don't come with manuals, right? Brother David Miller, and I'm just going, you know, Sister Rebecca and Brother Dave, they're expecting. Praise the Lord. Well, he comes, the other day we were coming in, and he says to me, and you know, Brother Dave, I love him. He's a great guy. He says, I'm nervous, brother. I said, join the club, man. They don't come with manuals, do they? All of a sudden we have children and we're parents. And we do our best and we try and we love them and we try to get them through all the tough times. And and they don't understand. And then they get to be teenagers, and then there's a whole nother dynamic going on. But we love them anyway, even when they're unlovable from 12 to 19, right? Parenthood in many ways can be summed up as a guilt trip. You know why? Kids, listen now. Because mom and dad make mistakes. We make mistakes. You know? We say, well, you know, the firstborn, we did this, secondborn. And then, you know, when you get to your third or fourth one, the first one's going, how come I didn't get to do that. And then to get to the grandkids, oh, my goodness. Woo, I didn't, Dad, what's going on? But you know something? Here's what I want to tell you. See, I think there were days Mary had regrets as a, and this is not, I'm not reading this from Scripture. I'm just telling you as a person. Now, just, and it is from Scripture. Let me say, I can show you a couple instances where Mary, I think perhaps she wasn't in the will of God. Mark chapter 3 is one of them, and John chapter 2. That's where Jesus turned the water to wine, and Mary shows up, and she says, they're out of wine. Well, how many know that when your mother walks up and says something like that and just gives you that look, you're like, okay, right? And you know what Jesus says? He says, woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour's not come yet. There was a little bit of a disconnect there. Well, and then in Mark chapter 3, Jesus teaching, and he's healed a withered hand, and they're accusing him of healing through Beelzebub. And Jesus, you know, he launches into the teaching about the house can't be divided. And then it says in Mark 3:31, it says this. You can read this later. This is quick. It says in Mark 3:31, it says Mary and her sons were outside calling for Jesus to come out. You know what he says? He says, who is my mother? They send word. He says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? He says, those that do the will of God are my mother and my brothers. A little disconnect there. Well, Mary, I'm sure Mary had days when she was. How many know that when you get tired sometimes, you say things that, you know, you go, I was probably a little hard on him. You do, right? There are days you get up, you're not feeling good, you're not having a good day, and you, at the end of the day, you look back and you go, you know, I probably could have done that differently, I probably could have handled that. Every parent here has moments where they go on the guilt trip because they could have done things a little better. Well, kids, one of these days, you'll be in the same boat. Guilt trip. You know, I'm sure Mary had regrets with Jesus. How do you raise the perfect child? How do you raise the Son of God? He's the Son of God. You know, the pressure was on. I'm sure that she looked back and said, you know, I could. She lost track of him for 3 days. How many lose track of your child for 3 minutes and you go in a panic? Am I right? 3 days. They went to Passover. They came out. They realized Jesus isn't in their midst. They got back. It had been 3 days. Where'd they find him? Well, where every perfect kid hangs out. In the house of God. Amen. That's where they found him. I'm sure, can you relate to what I'm saying? We make mistakes sometimes. Every mother has regrets. Every mother has times and things that they would, every parent does. And Mary's no different. And Mary exhibits faith at the cross because she needs a Savior too. But you know what Mary exhibited also? Great wisdom. Because during that water to wine thing at the wedding at Cana, you know, she walks up, and I'm not kidding you. I mean, you read that. When you get home later tomorrow this week, read John 2. She walks in, and she just says this. She just walks up to Jesus. She says, they're out of wine. She was like, do something, right? He gives her the reply, and she pays no attention to it. Don't you hate it when your mom don't listen to you? He says, what is your concern got to do with me? And you know what she says? This is where her great wisdom comes in. Listen now, I'm almost done. She says, she ignores what he says, and she says to the people, whatever he says, do. Let me tell you, that's good advice for every mother. You'll never steer your child wrong. You'll never lead them in a wrong way if you will tell them whatever Jesus says, do. Amen. You'll never go wrong by obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Mary at the cross, near the cross, at the cross, she exhibits courage. She exhibits motherly love. She exhibits faith. She exhibits wisdom. And those are all traits that we all need. But then there's one more, and I'm going to close with this one. We have John near the cross, Mary at the cross, and then we have Jesus on the cross. And the whole thing here, what gets me, and I don't know if you've seen this, but here's what I see here. And I'm going to wrap it up with this third point. It won't be too long, so stay with me, okay? See, what I see here is an example of a son fulfilling what the fifth commandment says. Honor your father and your mother. I see a son fulfilling what Proverbs 22:23 says. Even when your mother gets older, honor her. He's honoring his mother. He's looking out for his mother. I see a son that even while he, listen now, he is dying for the sins of the world, while he is suffering for all of humanity, that they might have life, even there in his mind, he is worried about his mother. And he says to her, in reference to John, behold your mother, or behold your son, he says to his mother Mary, behold your son. Jesus here reveals his last will and testament. Listen to this now. The only thing that he possessed in life. Do you believe this? He said, the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. The only thing he had in this life that he was sure of, humanly speaking, was his mother. And he says to John, you take care of her. And he says to his mother, you go with him. Family dynamics change. Even while dying for you, he's taking care of his mother. What an example for you and I. Amen? This goes beyond just mothers. This goes to our parents. This goes to all of us who still are blessed enough to have our parents with us, to honor our parents, to love them while we can, to hug them and verbally let them know and physically let them know that we love them. To honor them as Jesus gave us the example in exemplifying even that while he died for everyone else. Well, let's get a song. At the cross. At the cross. You know, we visited the cross in Scripture today. But can I say to you without any hesitation, if you've never visited the cross spiritually, today needs to be the day. You need to come to the cross. You cannot get around the cross. Jesus died for all of humanity, a perfect, sinless sacrifice. And he will lovingly, willingly, gladly accept you into the family of God. Change your family dynamics today. If you don't know him, my prayer is that you would come to know him. And you know, we're going to give an altar call, and I believe with all my heart that altar calls are still work. I believe if God's speaking to your heart, an old-fashioned altar is still a great place to come to. But I would also say this, that if you have questions and you don't understand and you want some further instruction or you need to talk, I'm here, and others would talk to you. And I've led more than one person to the Lord in my office, and I would gladly speak to you as well. But I would bid you today, if God spoke to your heart, come to the cross. Don't just hear about it. Don't just know about it. But come to the cross. Accept Christ as your Savior. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence today. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the redemptive death that you died, Jesus. We thank you that you are the one mediator, the intercessor right now. And, Lord, that you ever live to make intercession for us. And if we come to you realizing that we need you as our Savior, you will in no wise cast us out. Touch our hearts today, Father, we pray. Lord, may we get near the cross. May we pick up our cross. May we follow you. May we be disciples of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.